I start on the word that I have, I'd like to just round out. Where is she? There she is. God's answering of prayers. And I've been around in the prayer thing for quite a while now, as you may or may not have guessed. You had 15 months of real heart-wrenching prayer. I can guarantee it. You really meant every word. And after 15 months, God has blessed that prayer. And like Pastor Mike said, in his time. My first wife was diagnosed with cancer. They said 80 months, 2 years at the absolute maximum. Well, we went into prayer. The AOG had a pastor's prayer chain right around Australia. We had people in England praying. We had people in Malaysia praying. And God granted me another 5 years with my wife. We had 7 years from that time. I have a good friend, godly girl, loves the Lord, prayed for 30 years for a husband. And right towards the end, he looked at her and he said, "I think I need him now." God answered the prayer. He's in heaven. My wife's in heaven. Now, the other side, the other end of that, is an incredible little thing that happened to me this past week. I've been thinking about buying a new set of bowls, lawn bowls. The cheapest set of new bowls is $560. And I have a wonderful wife who just keeps saying, go and buy them. But I can remember the days when we didn't have shoes and it sort of sticks with you. And my birthday was Wednesday sometime or other. And on the Tuesday, I had heard previously that if I went to the Willunga Bowls Club, I could join the club, try out a new set of bowls, and buy them for about $400, which is $560 cheaper, and I can try the bowls out before I start. So Tuesday morning, Faith and I are having our normal prayer time. I said, "Lord, I know this is such a minor thing in the scheme of things. It is just so minor. But Lord, I wonder if you could sort out this bowls problem for me." That afternoon, I went out to the Willunga Club with the other guys, and there's about 50 guys, girls, women, you know, that other type of people, playing bowls. And I'm playing against a lady who has just bought a new set of bowls. And I said, "What are you doing with the old ones?" She said, "Oh, I'm going to sell them, I think." I said, "What are they?" "They were exactly the colour I want. They were exactly the weight I want. They're exactly the price I want." Now, God answers even those little things that you answer for. You know, you don't put God in a box, whatever you do. You might think to yourself, "Oh, I'm not going to bother God about that. It's so minor." But God answered it the same day. The following day, Faith and I caught up with some of our old friends from the old church down at Yankalilla. And I'm telling the guys this particular story. One of the guys has got two rifles that he wants to get rid of. And he tried in Yankalilla area, and they said, $600 perhaps, $500 for the two of them. He went down to Victor Harbour. He's talking to the gunsmith in there, talking about the guns. A woman walks in, gives him $1,000 for both of them. God is so good. And I think the word that has come to us over the past couple of weeks for the start of this new year, we've got a new year. God in his grace has given us another year. Did you ever think about that? Faith and I think about it every morning. Thank you, Lord, for yesterday. Wonderful day. We did this, we did that, your blessings, etc., etc. But thank you for today. God's given us another day. We don't deserve another day, but God's given us another day. It's brilliant. Now he's given us another year to fulfill his desires through us. And we need to be grateful for that and say so. And say so. God is so good. Don't put him in a box. The word for today is forget yesterday. Forget the past. Whether you had failures, whether you had successes, whether you loved it or hated it, forget it. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. That's a very serious scripture. He who puts his hand to the plow, God's work, and looks back is not worthy. That's frightening, of the kingdom of God. So the word is, whatever 2016 did for you, forget it. It's gone. You can't change it. It's like me with the bowls. I see guys on the bowling green. I go, listen, mate, once you've let go of it, you can't do anything with it. And last year is exactly the same. It's gone. It's finished. It's over with. You can't change anything that happened last year. So look forward. Look forward to what God's got for you. Look forward to the glory that's going to happen in 19. I'm going back a bit, aren't I? In 20. They say as you get older, you go backwards. I'm going to go right back to my birth. I was a horrible kid. I'll be down here kicking and screaming. You think you got some bad kids? You should have seen me when I was a nipper. Dad nearly chucked me out of the house. We were two stories up. Dear Mum, I owe her my life in more ways than one. So having prattled on for 10 minutes, you find a couple of things happen as you get older. You can't undo bits of paper and you can't do up buttons. You would be amazed how difficult it is to do these things. Buttons. Thank God I'm such an even-tempered... Close your ears. Thank goodness I'm such an even-tempered, friendly chap. That's an episode that'll stick in my mind forever. I still repeat it to other people. I can't get this jolly thing apart. That's another problem I have. Your hands. Oh, thank you, Chris. My world's been in here for a long time. I thought you were going to tear it apart then. I would have to buy a new stapler. I've had this little picture. I'm not very good at electronics, so I can't put it up there. Just pretend, all right? I can't put it up there. This little picture's been sitting on my desk in the office for months and months. And I'm thinking about preaching today, and my eyes suddenly go to this picture. It's a picture of Noah's Ark. And it's full of animals and a couple of guys on there. And it's full of holes. The whole hull is full of holes, like it's been at Trafalgar and had a battle. And that tells me that Satan hates it when you get in his ark, God's ark. Satan hates it when you come afloat with God and travel where God wants you to go, and he continues to fire shells at you. And the word says, doesn't it, the helmet of salvation, the shield to deflect the darts. And that picture shows me that each one of us that is willing to sit in the ark, Christ's ark, and go where he wants us to go, we're going to get bombarded. I don't care how good you are, how spiritual you are, how rotten you are, how unspiritual you are, you're gods, you belong to Christ Jesus, you're the body of Christ, you are going to have trials, tribulations, and holes in your defenses. Now, it has underneath it, I think I will tear it apart because I'll never get it. See? Cost means nothing. I'll pinch face stapler. Everything I need to know about life, I learned from the ark. And here's 10 little things that a part of this ark thing. The first thing about the ark is don't miss the boat. The first thing about the ark is don't miss the boat. My first wife, when we were in paradise, we were about to take communion, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Monica and said, I wanted to go over there and share your communion with that person. And we were new Christians, and she didn't do it. And we never saw that person again in the church. We don't know what happened. You see, don't miss the boat when God calls, when he asks, do it straight away, instantly. Don't think about it, do it. But God is gracious. God is such a loving God. Maybe next week, exactly the same thing happened again. And Monica had learnt this time. She got up and she went across, sat with this girl, shared a communion. Girl cried her heart out and gave her life to the Lord. See, God is good. But don't miss the boat the first time. You'll worry over it for not having done it, because you'll feel in your spirit, I've let my father down. The word says in John 21:6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now another version says, cast your nets over the right-hand side of the boat and you will catch. And if you notice in that, God's instruction is precise. Move out into the deep. He's talking to somebody who knows what the deep means. Cast your nets, all of them, not just one, on the right-hand side of the boat, not the left-hand side. You see, when God wants us to do something of great importance, he will give you the details. He said to Moses, make sure that you make the temple exactly how I showed you on the mountain. Exactly. Don't put a brick out of place. Don't put a pillar in the wrong place. Do what God tells you to do his way, not your way, and instantly. Don't miss the boat. Number two, remember, and this is a beauty, remember we're all in the same boat. We are all the body of Christ. We can't look at the ear and say, get rid of you, I don't need you. We can't look at the hand and say, oh, I'm not a mouth, so I can't speak properly. Do you know what? If you haven't got a backside, you can't sit down. Don't look at other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and say, hey, you're in the wrong boat. We are all in the same boat. We are all the body of Christ. And we should look at each other as a togetherness. We are one. We are one in Christ. There is only one Christ. The word says so, Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know, when a brickie puts the bricks together in a house, it's held together with love. Well, that's a load of garbage, because it's held together with mortar. But we, as the body of Christ, are held together with love. And we're supposed to be showing that love between each other. I'm not going to look at this bigger brick than me over here and say, oh, you're too big for my body. I want a little hut. So I look at across here at one of James's young lads and I said, no, you're too little. Do you know bricks are different sizes? I used to do a lot of bricking work in my place up at Barra Hills, and some of those bricks were big. I had a job to pick them up. I don't think I would be able to nowadays, but they still made my garage and they still made my walls. It doesn't matter what size we are, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter how clever we are, how thick we are, how stupid we are, how brilliant we are part of the body of Christ. And we should recognize each other as such and reach out to each other in love. Oh, I don't like what you said to me the other day. Ooh, I don't think I'll come to your birthday party. That's wrong. He said it because he didn't know any better. And I say things that I shouldn't say, and I do things that I shouldn't say. But I would be mortified if all my friends said, oh no, you didn't say what I wanted you to say last week. We love each other. And when we got together the other Wednesday, we haven't seen each other for years. But the love's still there. The memories are still there. They are still brothers and sisters in Christ. And we love them dearly. Number three. Got plenty of time, Mike. Plan ahead. Plan ahead. I love this. It wasn't raining when he started building the ark. Rain in those days, what's rain? God say, hey, I'm going to pour it down all over the world. Build an ark. What the hell's an ark? I'm a long way from the shore. What's rain? The mist used to come up and just water overnight. I wish it had come to my place and do a bit of watering. That wonderful word, plan ahead. Plan ahead, and you know the old saying, plan ahead of this as if Christ was coming way down, but live like he's coming the salvo. You need to plan what's coming up. You need to have something in your mind about what's going on. It's like yesterday when I had nothing in my mind, didn't know what to do, I'd already got this. You get a bit lost, don't you? Do you know how boring cricket can get after you've watched it for a few hours? 5 minutes. My brother-in-law used to say, watching cricket is like watching grass grow. Because he didn't find the finer points of cricket. Like rugby. There's a couple of guys in here that rave on about rugby. Oi! He's nodded off. He didn't even hear what I said. If that had been Luke's spirit, you'd have gone, yes, Luke! Bloody Kiwis. Now, that was the word earlier on. Look ahead. Plan for tomorrow. Don't worry about things that went wrong last year. Plan for this year. It's a whole year that God's given us, and we've got heaps to do in this year. There's a lot of people out there that are dying because they haven't heard the word of God. A lot of people out there that are starving because they haven't got something to eat. A lot of people out there that have lost all faith because they've got no faith. A lot of people out there that have lost everything they had. They've lost their loved ones. They've left their families. They've lost their homes. They've lost their country. And as Mike said, these things are terrible. But I noticed a couple of months or so back that all these people are rushing around and they haven't got a leader. Isn't that amazing? There's this massive move of people, and it is massive. Not just Syria, but right around the world, people are leaving and getting out and looking for somewhere else. God is stirring this country. God is stirring that country. God is stirring this world. God is doing something around this world. His word says, I am about to do a new thing. Are you ready for it? Have you planned for change? Or are you quite happy at the end of the year to say, oh, well, we've done all the things we've done previously. We've had our birthdays and our anniversaries and our holidays, and we went to church and blah, blah, blah. Plan for something different. Get ready for something different to happen in your life. It's wonderful to plan ahead, but be prepared for your plans to be changed. Because when God puts his finger on whatever we plan, it changes. Luke 9:62 said, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And I used that earlier on. It's a frightening scripture. Make sure that you put your hand to the plow, that you said, right, Lord, I've glued my hand on this plow. I'll keep going till you tell me to change. And we can hop in and out of ministries because God hasn't asked us to do them. Or we haven't stuck to them. Or we thought it's below our whatever. with God's body, it's amazing. If I say to my hand, get your hand off your wallet, it's not going to fall out of your pocket, and put it up there, guess what? My hand does it. There was no effort in it. The hand agreed with what the mind said. And that's how we should be when God speaks to us and say, do something. And do it. My hand didn't stay in the pocket. It hasn't got a mind of its own. It could pinch the wallet whenever it wanted to. But it went up here because my mind told it to do so. And when God tells us to do something, react like his body and do it. Number four. That's something else that happens as you get older. Print gets smaller, doesn't it? And I've noticed, it's amazing, I don't feel that I've changed myself, but the ground's further away. I said to somebody the other day, I dropped something, I said, I can't pick that up. Isn't that crazy? I couldn't pick it up. If it had been a dollar note, I would have picked it up. You young fellas that don't know what a dollar note is. They're even getting rid of the $100 now, aren't they? I can't remember the last saw one. Number four, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. And I'm in that area. Oh no, I can't do that. I'm too old. Oh no, I can't pick that up. It's too old. I remember the saying to Andrew Evans years ago when I planted the church down south. And Andrew came down. And I said, God, Andrew, I wish I'd started this younger. I'm too old for this caper. He said, Moses started at 80. I'm not quite sure whether he was admonishing or uplifting or what he was doing, but it's sat in the back of my mind ever since that day. And here I am, I'm past Moses' age, and God could still call me to do something big. I am not walking on this earth so that I can play bowls. Do you believe that? You are not walking on this earth so you can go home and have a nice lunch today. You are not walking on this earth so you can look after your kids. You're not working on this earth so you can fulfill your dreams. You're walking on this earth because God's got something for you to do. And he's still got something for me to do. You know what? There are a lot of little old ladies and little old men around the world who keep big ministries going because they sit in their closets and pray for them. Faith and I lift up several missionaries every morning, several people every morning. These churches, these places, these people, we do it every morning. And sometimes it sounds like we're just repeating something. But God showed me, and I've probably said this before, there's another trouble of getting old, you keep repeating yourself, that I'd had a session of weak little prayers. And I said, Lord, I just don't seem to be able to pour my heart out. I used to go in the parklands and pour my heart out for a solid hour, so fast and so hard I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for breath. Now I go and say, oh Lord, yeah, but you'd save such and such. And I went into one of those times, and the Lord said, every prayer that you pray goes into the water wheel of prayer and helps it turn. Don't ever think that your prayers don't mean anything. Every prayer you speak to God does something. The bowls full of the prayers of the saints. Revelation. We all put little prayers into the bowls. We all fill the water wheel and make it turn. Every prayer counts, whether it's a thank you or please. Did I say anything on that one? 600 years, what's that? Four. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. We already said it. Five. Don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. We've all done lots of things during our Christian walk. whether you've started a church or you've sat on the door or you've cleaned the cutlery or you've done a barbie or whatever, we've all done something for our Lord in the church because it's his church. The word is, don't stop, keep going, unless the Lord speaks to you. If the Lord hadn't spoke to me down at Yankee, I'd still be down there. But he spoke to Faith and I, and we've been here for 10 years. We've been in this church for 10 years, and there's been several times when I said to the Lord, what am I doing here? And somebody said to me the other day, your presence counts. Isn't that amazing? So sometimes we think we're doing nothing, but somebody's watching you and gleaning something off of your attitude and what you do for Christ. And you don't necessarily need to be doing something great and big and special. You know, my big toe isn't very big, but if you cut both your toes off, yeah, any idea how that affects your balance? I've got a mate who lost one of his big toes. He had an awful job walking after that. It's just a little thing, but it's necessary to my body. And the little things that we do in the church or to brothers and sisters outside or to just people that don't know the Lord make a difference. The words say that we should behave because there's such a great cloud of people that are watching us. And it's amazing how people that don't know Christ are watching us all the time. Incredible. There's funny things that pop up in the village every now and again because they all know where I stand. They all know where Faith stands. Little comments come up and you know that you're being watched. What was that? 5. John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Remember that is, don't listen to critics, just get on with the needs that you've started to do. You see, Jesus said himself, I do nothing without my Father telling me what to do. And doesn't that mean something to us? Shouldn't we be listening to the Father? He said, I don't go off on my own track. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So I believe that our ears are very important, especially our spiritual ears. The spiritual ears that pick up what the Father is saying. And we can save people by doing stupid things. You must have heard me say before about the guy going along and he's saying, Lord, I don't seem to be doing anything for you and I don't seem to hear anything. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go into the next deli. I want you to go up to the Coke machine. I want you to do a handstand up that Coke machine. And the guy behind the counter said, oh, my goodness. I've just said to the Lord that if he sends in somebody that comes in and does a handstand upon the Coke, I won't commit suicide, I'll give my heart to him. It doesn't matter how stupid the thing is that God seems to be asking us to do, do it. Don't miss the boat. Do it. Get on with it. 6, build your future on high ground. Now, I won't read the whole script, you all know it. And they built a house on sand, and the wind blew, and the storm came, and the house got washed away, and they built a house on the rock, and it was stood against the storm. And that's exactly with us. What we build on Christ. What we succeed through Christ. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We don't go around and say, hey, I've built a big church. I've got a minister. I've preached in England and Malaysia and Victor Harbour, and I've preached all over the show. What? He lifts up the humble and stands against the proud. And I think that's perhaps another of those blessings that come with age. We actually get humbler as we get older. We actually drop away from those things of, I hope people will look at me, I hope people come and praise me, I hope people will bless me, I hope my hope is in you, Lord. My life is in you, Lord. It is to you I give everything. Because Jesus said, I can do nothing of my own. Build your future on Christ Jesus. Lynn, you said this morning in communion, and I so agree with that. I so agree with the changing of your mind through the learning of Scripture. I used to think in my earlier days, how do angels fight? They get the big swords out and chop it. That's stupid. Angels can't die. Life eternal. Chop, 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 chop. I've just killed you. The battle is, as Jesus and Satan did in the wilderness. And you can't do it unless you know Scripture. You can't do it unless you put Scripture in here. You can't come against the wiles of the evil one unless you can come against him in battle. Ephesians 6, the armor of God. What's it in there for? So we can fight when things come against us, and that thing is Satan. And the only things that he will back down on is Scripture. Jesus said, "It is written." And Satan had to back down. And we must be able to say the same thing. It is written. Just remember, he knows Scripture. He got one fault, though. And he did it in the wilderness. He quoted out of, what's the word? Context. Thank you. Satan quotes out of context. Jesus doesn't. 6, did I read that? Yep, we just did. 7. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. I remember years ago the thing came out from Brisbane and Adelaide. Triples, it was called. When 3 people get together and pray. You know that chord? Greatest chord in the world is the Swiss chord. It has 3 chords and a red cord running right through the middle. Cannot be broken. It's the best chord in the world. And when you get 3 people with like thought praying together and speaking together, incredible things happen. Incredible things come about. The word says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself intended to go. You see, Jesus worked on that same theory. Go out in pairs, back each other up, strengthen each other, talk to each other, admit to each other, listen to each other, strengthen each other. The British had a thing called the square, and the riflemen, the artillery would stand back to back in a square, 3 in a rank. And the sergeant at arms would say, "Number on rack, fire!" And the top rank would fire at the enemy. They'd then go down and reload. And he'd say, "Number 2 rank, fire!" And the second rank would fire. It was impenetrable. It was used extensively in the Boer and Second and First World Wars. And when 2 people are back to back, they're covering each other. They're speaking to each other. And if you know somebody that you can spend time with in prayer, it's a great strength. It's incredible strength. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board the ark as well as the cheetahs. They were all going to the same place. They were all saved. And you all know about the rabbit and the turtle, tortoise. It doesn't matter how fast you go or how slow you go, as long as you're on the same boat going in the same direction. Because some people can achieve things quicker. When I'm on the computer and I'm typing out a letter, because my hand's so shaky it doesn't work anymore, and I'll type up a letter and I think, that doesn't look right. And I'll call out to Faith and say, "Hey Faith, how do you spell who?" You can laugh, but it looks funny sometimes on paper. See, she's miles ahead of me in education. She used to have one of those black gowns and a square black hat on her head, you know. She can speak French. She can play all sorts of different instruments. She I'll say, what's their number? And she'll instantly quote me a phone number. I can't even remember my neighbour's number. It's the same number as mine, but one up. You can laugh, but it's coming. It's coming. Speed. We're going to have to get to the specs savers. I can hardly see anything these days. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. You can run ahead of the Lord. You can run ahead of the Lord. You can set your sights far higher than God's got planned for you. Plan things that you think you can achieve. Look forward to this year thinking, right, this year I'm going to learn some scriptures. I heard the other day somebody said, name me one scripture that you learned in 2016 that has changed your life. Cool, I can hear the gears going from up here. That's unbelievable. You're a noisy lot. But think about it. Think about that sentence. What scripture can you remember that changed your life in 2016? That is powerful. Which scripture actually impacted you? We come to church week in, week out, month after month, year after year. We hear some terrific sermons from Pastor Mike. And every now and then you say something, like, man, I never thought of that before, Mike. That's brilliant. But how long do I remember it? We're supposed to be like cows. We're supposed to be regurgitating on scripture and learning it, but using it. Like you said, Lynn, we've got to get the scripture into us before we can bring it out of us. Oh, the Holy Spirit will bring it out. Yeah, the Holy Spirit. But you can't bring out anything if it's not in there. It's great to read. I just brought a new Bible. We both brought new Bibles. Oh, we had a splashed out money all over the show. It's one of those Bibles where everything's, I forget the word again. Big letters, yeah. I like the Bible's got lots of pictures in them. It's got a stupid thing on the front, children's Bible. Excuse me, I love them. But it's one of those Bibles where everything's put into chronological order. I've had a couple in the past, but they just hadn't done it right. But this one they've done right. And it's revitalized my reading of the Bible. And now and again, we need something like that. We need an extra something to get us keen again, to get us interested again, to get our spirits worked up again. If I could come here with a word that put everybody on fire, I would say, God, what an incredible word. Instead of all this stuff that this is what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Wouldn't it be marvelous to be able to speak out a word and people said, man, that's just what I need to get interested in my word again, to get interested in my work again, get interested in my praise again, to get interested in my worship, to get interested in my prayer, to get back to where I was when I first came to know the Lord. It's so difficult. And it's so disappointing. When you're stressed, float for a while. Hey, they're on the ark. It's full of oars, but it's still floating. You can be shot down all over the town, but you can still float. You can still do what Jesus said to the disciples. Step aside. Come away from that. I remember preaching in the old place and saying, what you need to do is have a break from here. You need to have a break from the umbrella that you're under. You need to have a break from the oppression that comes over every area, because Satan has certain demons over different places. Every city. Have you ever walked down a city? And I know the story of a guy that was out handing out pamphlets, and he went all the way down this street, down this side, and nobody took a pamphlet. The Holy Spirit said, try the other side. And he walked to the other side of the road, and people took pamphlets. He said he even noticed somebody that refused him over there came over here and took a pamphlet. because the variation between the control was down the middle of the road. Now, you might find that hard to take, but it's a fact. It's like rain. Sometimes it's as dry as a bone on one side and wet as anything on the other side. There is a division in everything. Another thing about getting old, and I'm harping on this because I'm 81 now, is you forget where the heck you were. Go to the head of class, that man. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you lots more work to do. I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. I will take the burden off you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn. The Apostle Paul wasn't given the ability to be happy in all situations. He learned to be in that situation. And we need to learn from our past, from our future, from our Christ. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs. The ark was built by amateurs. Titanic was built by professionals. Doesn't that tell us something? God uses the lowly of heart. God is going to make the wisdom of the clever as a load of old cobblers. And he gives us the wisdom to do things that the world say you can't do that. You weren't healed by some mystical being that hung on a cross. There's a reason for it. Yeah, my God loves me and he heals through the blood of Christ Jesus. And we need to be in that place. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic, I love that, by professionals. That's so true. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's the word of God. The world believes in evolution. I used to believe in evolution. I used to rattle on about evolution in the Rex pub. That's a pub, by the way, just in case you godly people don't know. The Rex is a pub. I used to drink there every day till closing time sometimes. Evolution is the stupidest thing that ever came up, but it's the wisdom of man. And creation turns it into absolute stupidity. I know it did in me. I couldn't believe that I actually believed in evolution. And finally, I heard that sigh somewhere over here. Somebody said, oh, thank God for that. He's finished. We can go and have time to go anyway. No matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. In the darkest of clouds, there is always a silver lining. In the time when we go through absolute horrors, like you did for 50, that must have been terrible. But there's a silver lining. There's always a rainbow waiting. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. When we come to the Lord in the middle of a storm, when we hand it over to him, peace comes upon us because we know he's in charge. And I still think that the word for this year is, let God be God.
Yeah.
Let God be God. Stop trying to do it all on our own, in our own way, in our own will, in our own desires. Hear his voice when he calls. Don't miss the boat. Do it. Bless each one of you. I hope you have a really, really good year this year. But whatever problems, sicknesses, failings you think you have, give them to God. Let God be God. Because he'll get you a new set of bowls for half the price that you were going to pay. Bless you all.